do that. So I was like, all right, let's try it.
Move over, woman. I got to put pieces together.
She did say one time, stop mansplaining puzzles to me.
That's hilarious.
Like, I was like, I don't think that's the way to use that.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Good Friday to you, Ted. It's episode 152 of the Trailer Junkies podcast. How the heck are you?
Good, good. But it's not Good Friday. It's a different Friday that's coming up in a couple of weeks.
Oh, this guy's a joker. Church jokes.
Church jokes.
Church jokes. Okay, speaking of church, we don't drink wine on this podcast, but we do drink beer.
But my beer tonight is...
It's out of a solo cup.
No, not tonight.
Okay.
Tonight it's called, and I think you've had this one before, it's the Big Bad Baptist Imperial Stout.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Big Bad Baptist.
Keep the religious theming.
I was raised Big Bad Baptist.
Yeah, were you?
Yeah, unfortunately.
All right, let's crack it. How about you?
So I have Almanac Beer Company, barrel-aged Hypernova Volume 5 Sour Ale, aged in oak barrels.
Oh, man.
With pluots, plums, nectarines, vanilla beans, and lactose. I have no clue what I'm getting into tonight.
Pluots? Is that how you pronounce that?
A pluot? How else do you pronounce
that? I always thought they're...
Clarissa, is that how you pronounce a pluot?
I thought it's plouts. Plouts. Plouts?
Ted says, oh my God, it's pink.
Oh my God, it's like a,
I'm
it's
drinking,
like a lemonade.
I'm drinking a foo-foo drink. What is this thing?
That is not foo-foo. I've heard of that, but I don't think it is.
Oh my God, it's like Bartles and James.
It's a wine cooler.
Totally.
But what's the ABV? It's got a decent ABV, though.
It probably does.
It's like 9 or something.
Oh, wow. That's really tart.
It's a sour.
Tart.
That's what it's called.
It is really 5.5%. I got gypped.
No way.
I got gypped.
You went for flavor over substance this week.
You know, I was picking this out. Again, one of my haunts is Valley Brewers. I said, you know what? Let's talk about a sour.
Mm.
Well, I didn't realize the sour meant like pluots.
Pluots. And about half the ABV we're used to.
Yeah. So let me hear about yours. Come on.
All right. So mine is, as a, you know, as we said, it's a Imperial Stout. So it is chocolate forward.
Yeah, there you go.
Cacao nibs all over the place.
Oh, nice.
And it's so, I guess they don't have the ABVs written on the bottle. It's actually printed like that crazy, like used before date on the bottom. And it's clocking at 11.9. I guess it might change from batch to batch.
Oh, wow. Good thing I didn't go for one of my big ones. You still would have beat me.
So this is my second to last beer from my old boss's Christmas beers. So thanks, Jess.
Oh, nice. So that's a gift beer as well.
One more next week. Next week we round out with all of them.
There you go. Yeah, this thing is like super sour and like really... I don't even know. It's just, it's so non-beer-like.
I mean, it's pink lemonade. It looks like pink lemonade.
Look at that thing, man. Look at that. It's like carbonated, yeah, pink lemonade. All right, well, I muscle through the, oh my God. Oh, it's so tart. Well, I muscle through this thing. How was your week?
I had a good week, typical, you know, work week, not a lot going on. It's the second full week of us, of Bryce and I running. Oh man, just the running is ridiculous and he hates it and I'm not a big fan of it, but I was like, I'm like, unless you run harder, this is just going to be forever, you know, like.
You just got to start singing cadence.
We have to get faster. So that we don't have to run 5 days a week. Like if he gets faster, then I said, if we can knock out like 10 laps, right now we're doing 6 laps in 35 minutes, which is 2 miles, which is like.
Just do like wind sprints. Like,
well, we try.
Back and forth at the yard.
Well, you know, I need that, but I need him to get endurance too. So
yeah,
we basically do wind sprints on the short parts. But anyway, I was like, because I was clocking the laps. So this week I said, you know what? I'm going to clock each leg, each length that we run. I'm going to time that and write that down and log it and stuff. And I said, that's how we'll know when you're getting better, because this timing laps is just so not scientific, you know, like until we know how fast we're walking and how fast we're running, you aren't going to know if you're improving, you know? And like Jim likes to say, that which gets measured gets managed, right?
That's it, man. That which gets measured gets managed.
Yeah. So basically the whole time we're running, I'm writing down numbers in a notes thing and I'm like clocking him. But I'm sure it looks like I'm like texting the whole time I'm running, because I just have the phone out and I'm always like punching numbers and doing stuff with it. So I'm sure.
It's like Miracle. You're just like, again. and then he's like half vomiting. You're like, again.
And then a couple times this week, we had to go later in the day. So I'm like doing it on my lunch break and people
are, I don't care. It's 110 degrees outside again.
And people are slacking me at work and I'm like, I'm running. Can't this wait? And they're like, no, it's a hot spot. We got to get this thing out. And I'm like, okay. So I'm pulling up work apps on my phone. I'm trying to push spots and like.
You're on the back 40 trying to get it done.
So it was a work week like that. How about you? Anything going on this week?
Oh, man. Heartbreak this week.
What happened?
79 batches of beer I've brewed.
Okay.
79. I've made a lot of beer. A
lot of beer.
78 turned out good.
Uh-huh.
Or better than good.
Right.
They all turned out. This week, I brewed last Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Didn't turn out.
What do you mean?
I've never had a beer not ferment, not go, you know, have the yeast go off and all the stuff, you know, never had that happen to me. First one not to happen.
It just didn't work.
And mind you, the most expensive beer I ever brewed.
Mm.
So there was this supposed to be like this grape juice concentrate that you added to it.
Right.
Never did this before in a brew. So I was like, oh, we'll see, you know. So I couldn't find this. It was a certain brand, you know, I couldn't find it anywhere. And it looks like I can't remember the name of it, but they discontinued it. So I find this other Muscat grape juice concentrate thing.
Okay.
And I ordered it. 2 pounds was like $50, man. It was like,
what?
Oh, yeah, it was outrageous. So I, you know, I do the brew and it.
I have nothing to compare it to. So I'm just like, I'm just outraged because you're outraged.
Outrageous. I don't even care. $50 for 2 pounds of grape juice. And they do it by pounds too, which is weird. But anyway, so I thought, what does this taste like? And I took like a little dab on my tongue.
Is it a liquid?
Liquid, yeah. After I poured it all in, like a little residual, I just tasted it. And you know when you get like a Novocaine shot and they put like the lidocaine swab?
Oh, yeah.
And it numbs everything?
Right.
I took this little taste and everything was numb.
Oh.
So I said, Clarissa, try this. It's crazy. So she does. It goes, and I give it to the boys and we're all like, oh my God, we're all like freaking out how our mouths are all numb, you know? So I was like, wow, that's crazy. But it was already in the wort and
yeah,
all this
yeah.
stuff. The wort's the unfermented beer, okay. Just for the non-brewer aficionados.
Like me. Okay.
Yeah, so everything's in there. I'm like, all right, well, let me go pour the yeast. I had a yeast starter. The yeast starter was good. Pour the yeast starter in, and I poured another packet of yeast in, you know, liquid yeast, White Labs liquid yeast. Nothing. Just never. I think this stuff was so, like, numbing to the palate.
Do you think it killed all the yeast?
I think it killed the yeast.
Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, yeast isn't expensive, but for what you're buying, you know, I don't want to just be, like, dumping yeast money. I think it just killed it. I had two packs, huh. You know, typically I only do one.
Right.
With a starter. That's like you start the yeast going. Like if you're going to make bread, you kind of start the yeast.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
and
right.
This is the same thing. You start it a couple days ahead of time. I always have outrageously vigorous brew, not brews,
carbonate.
But vigorous fermentation.
Fermentation.
Okay. Yeah, never did anything. So I, you know, it's still sitting there. I don't know what to think, but it just never did. It never started fermenting. It never did anything. I have a feeling that grape juice stuff just killed the yeast.
Wow.
So yeah, heartbreak, man. 79 brews. I'm 78-1.
Ah, that's, you know, I mean, come on. That's quite a track record, you know?
Yeah. You know, I guess, like, we all got to be humbled at some point.
Now
right?
You've graduated into, you know, like, true, what is it, beer meister kind of.
Here's what not to do. Right.
I remember that time back in
2021. I put in the fake grape juice. It was the fake muscat.
The whole family was numbing their mouths. And
we were all numb for weeks. Couldn't taste the pizza. Yeah, but no, it was whatever. I still have it. I don't know what to do with it. Do I just put it around the fruit trees or something? I don't know. Then I'll kill off all the fruit trees with this stuff. It's probably toxic for all I know.
Yeah, just dump it down the drain. Kill the sewer alligators.
There you go. Yeah, or at least numb them.
Oh, I will. I do have another thing. You know,
I'm here.
I'm deep in puzzle time. You know, we've got those 8 puzzles from.
Oh yeah, right. Whew, hold on.
Yeah.
I took a big sip. Wow, that is puckery. Clarissa, you want another one here? Oh, man, help me out with this thing. Ooh. Okay, puzzles. Sorry about
that. No worries.
Sorry to derail you.
So we got all these puzzles through Stocklist, as I said before, and you know, Stocklist is going back and forth. They're loving the pictures. I'm
Stocklist.
It's a website that sells these Cavallini Paper Company's puzzles, and they have all these beautiful puzzles, beautiful designs. And we were putting together the Autobahn one a couple weeks ago, and I was like, "Man, there's this one piece that's not there," and we just pulled this thing out. I mean, we're like puzzle professionals now. We do it in like 2 or 3 days, a 1,000-piece puzzle, you know. So we knock it out, and we're not even like doing it very, you know, like we're not doing very long.
You're like yawning while you're putting puzzles together.
We're not yawning. We enjoy the challenge of it, and we knock it out. And especially now, like I had a kind of a random kind of rogue way of putting the puzzles together where I just like, oh, here's something that can go together easily. And I do that. And I keep doing like these different pieces that go together easily. And Anne has the method of like very organized, very methodical, like separating the colors, then separating the colors into sections and then separating the sections into, you know what I mean? So she does a lot of organization, a lot of pre-work. And she gets upset because I don't do that. And when she's doing it and then I come in and I do that. So I was like, all right, let's try it.
Move over, woman. I got to put pieces together.
She did say one time, stop mansplaining puzzles to me.
That's hilarious.
Like, I was like, I don't think that's the way to use that. Anyway, so we put together this Audubon Society puzzle, and there's a piece missing. And oh my God, I'm so heartbroken. But we put it together so quickly that it couldn't be on the floor. We moved the carpet. We moved the rug. We moved all the furniture. Nothing. It's nowhere to be found.
Okay.
Right? So I Instagram, I DM the people, and I was like, should I post this? Do you think Cavallini will do something for me or whatever? And they're like, don't post it yet. Just email them. Here's their info email. So I emailed them with a picture of the puzzle, you know, with a missing piece. And they wrote me a letter. They're like, you didn't send us your address. That's all we need. Just send us your address. We'll set you right. So tonight I got it, or today in the mail, I got the piece.
A whole new puzzle?
No, the piece, the one piece that was missing.
So what do? You're like... It's row G, column 17. Like, no, how do they know?
I gave them a picture, and then I gave them like a blow up of the area where the piece is missing. And it's just like the back of the little finch. And they sent me the piece. And then, and you know, I bought 8 of these things, and I randomly select them and I unwrap them because they're all gift wrapped free at Stocklist. And then today I unwrapped the next one the same day that I was going, that I got this letter in the mail from.
You were missing the entire puzzle.
No, I was not missing the entire puzzle, but it was a national parks puzzle.
Okay.
And that's what I'm going to do this weekend. And
oh, nice.
The card that they sent me was from their stationery company that was also national parks. It was a national park stationery card. It says, good luck with everything. And then it was the next puzzle that I'm doing.
Is this a premonition or something you're telling me? Or
I don't know. There's some kind of cosmic connection.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, slow week, I guess, is what we're saying.
Slow news week. Ted's missing a puzzle piece. All right, man. With that, we're without remorse.
Okay.
Dude, I wish I was half this badass.
You know who else wishes he was half this badass? Jack Ryan wishes he was half this badass.
That's right. That's right.
I just imagine there's got to be a scene in this movie early on where he like walks through the halls of Quantico and there's Jack Ryan like pushing papers or something, because it's like it's in the same universe. They got to do a crossover somehow, somewhere, don't you think?
Yeah, you one would think.
It makes sense. I mean, Amazon's got to get it together. They got to do a little more synergy amongst their titles, you know?
Right. The sound effects are very video game like.
Oh yeah, I mean, this is Rainbow Six. Is it what it's called? Rainbow Six?
Yeah, like Rainbow Six, Night Vision.
Yeah. He did a great crossover, right? He crossed over from novels to games pretty well.
Well, I mean, video games are storytelling.
Yeah.
It looks cool. It's Amazon. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I love it. I love that, you know, like when he's pouring the gasoline on the car and he's setting the car on fire.
Right.
Like, you expect all of that. But then he jumps in the car.
That's exactly right.
Like, I was like, oh, that is that, you know, when you say half is badass, it's like,
that's what made me think that, you know, I get it. You're going to like burn down the house, yeah, but it's yeah, like, you don't yeah. light the match and then go in the house when you start burning it down. You know, the sound when like the night vision comes on is like straight out of Splinter Cell.
Splinter Cell.
I used to play that like 20 years ago. Oh, you know,
what was the one I played? Metal Gear. The little 8-bit one.
But yeah, when he gets in the car and then he like starts threatening the guy, it's one of those things where like you're such a badass that you think you can handle the guy who's threatening you until he takes it to the next level.
Right.
You know, like it's like, oh my God, he's going to burn me alive. Oh my God, he's in here while he's burning me alive. Like, that's how crazy this guy is, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's... You know, were you a fan of Usual Suspects?
Oh, yeah, fantastic.
I mean, when Kaiser Soze kills his wife and kids, it's just like all bets are off. Like, you know?
Yeah.
It's, you know, yeah. So I think it's that kind of level stuff. I mean, obviously, this character is doing it to avenge his wife and children and our unborn child, right?
But exactly, yeah. No.
But it's the same. A matter of like, what the hell is going on?
And there's gotta be like, just like Usual Suspects, there's gotta be a twist at the end, you know, like nobody saw it until he starts walking straight and stops limping, you know, and there's gotta be something here with that.
Right.
I don't know. The trailer's not going to give it away,
but the trailer's cool enough to be like, Amazon
makes me want to see it.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I have no remorse wanting to see this thing. Yeah, Amazon, like I said, comes out in April, so we got about a month.
Okay.
I might re-up Amazon for a month just to watch it. Be worth it. Why not?
And you'll do just the Amazon Prime Video, right?
Can you do that?
I think you can do it.
Because I would just turn Amazon back on and be like, baby.
Just turn all the shipping? Yeah.
Baby, we have a bunch of stuff in the cart. Let's go. We've been collecting the cart now for 4 months.
Oh, man.
Hit go, you're like... It's like $4,000. You're like, what was I thinking? Bezos, you're welcome.
Do you have that little guy on your Urban Arrow? Is that in your cart?
No, I think that's just
the broken little dude.
I think the little rubber thing just go back and forth. Eventually, it cracked. Oh. That's not something you can. The gears still work, so
okay,
it
good,
is what
good.
It is.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Ted's talking about there's this little guy on the gear shifter that shows he's on flatland. And when you need a low gear to go climb hills, you shift and the guy looks like he's climbing hills.
He broke
so
this week.
It just it after 9,000 miles of riding, it finally broke. But it is what it is. But yeah, overall though, I mean, I'm going to watch this. You're going to watch this.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's low hanging fruit, you know. I mean,
action movie, you know.
Totally.
Michael B. Jordan, like, you know, badass. Yeah.
Absolutely. And Jack Ryan, when does that come out again? Any idea? I have no idea.
And
yeah, I don't know either.
And I was trying to think here, you know, this is a movie, right?
These days, Ted, I can't tell.
I couldn't tell either. And then I was like, I was excited for it. And then I got excited for it at a moment where I was like, wait, is this in the Jack Ryan universe? Is this a series? And then I was like, and then I was more excited. And then I was like, oh, it's not a series. And I was like, oh, is this might mean Michael B. Jordan is going to be in the next season of Jack Ryan? And I was like, oh, that's probably not. But maybe, like, you know, it's just like your mind reels at the possibilities. And you just hope that they can figure out the synergies.
I don't know. What are you going to do? It's one of those kind of movies that, again, we talk about popcorn flicks. You just sit down and you just go for it and you just enjoy it. And it's just, you just watch the mayhem and the badassity, and it just gets it gets after it.
Badassity. Got it.
That's it, man. So speaking of badassity, Voyagers.
Yes.
Does this remind you of like Pornhub in space?
Well, I don't know what Pornhub is, so... you know, if you're talking about some kind of porn website or something, then maybe it's something like that. But no, it seems more like an ecstasy trip.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah. Okay. I gotcha.
You know, like again, nothing I have any personal interest.
Like MDMA or something.
Yeah. Like a rave or something like that, you know.
In outer space.
A rave in space, yes.
Gotcha. Yeah, you know, I like that better.
But I was thinking, you know, this trailer to the trailer, it breaks all the rules because it has the line, the same line Colin Farrell uses at the end of the trailer to the trailer, which is at the end of the actual trailer itself. And yet, it kind of works. You know what I mean? I think the trailer to the trailer is all you really need to see. You've seen everything if you watch the first 5 seconds of it.
That's right.
It's already sold you on what this movie is. You know, jump cuts. Cuts of nature, you know, weirdly, you know, not erotic, but, you know, just the juxtaposition of the shots and the music video stylings of this space and this trailer. And then the body of it just delivers more of the same in the same vein with more of disjointed action. You know what I mean? So it's like you really have to want to be in this mood to see this movie, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know kind of where this fits, whether it's sci-fi. It has a fantasy sort of a feel to it with, like you said, the ecstasy drug angle. Like, if you think about the purpose of a movie, I don't necessarily know what the purpose of the movie. In other words, they're leaving Earth to go somewhere, and on their voyage, they're in this ecstasy state.
Right.
And everybody's kind of in their I don't know, what would you call it? Like their
underwear?
I don't know. Like, they're just kind of in their orgy state because they're probably going to be traveling for like most of their lives. So why not just,
right,
you know, get down and dirty or something?
The most important thing that they could do in a voyage that lasts your whole life is to make babies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because when you get to the other side, you got to make sure that, like,
there's enough viable new people.
when you expire, they can exit the ship.
Right.
Yeah. You know what would be weird, though, is like the recirculated air for that long.
The recirculated sex air.
Yeah.
Air has that different vibe to it.
Does it? Does it have a different vibe? I don't even know.
You don't have to open the windows if you've had like...
Oh, God. Yeah, you're grossing me out. No, but you're right. Like, you know how it is. If you're in... like an airplane for a long time, it just feels musty.
Right. Well, I'm sure they got some pretty good scrubbers on this thing, you know. They have
probably.
They have that blue liquid ecstasy for days, and you know, so I'm sure everything's good.
Yeah. And then they go out and they do spacewalks to get some fresh air.
Right. You know, the one thing that I was thinking about was they didn't show that, did they? They didn't show spacewalks, did they?
Yeah, they showed a spacewalk. They were like in a yellow spacesuit or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I saw one series where I forget what it was, but they had like an Apollo spaceship, but it housed like 200 people or something like that, and they launched it in 1960 whatever, and then people lived on the ship, you know, and they basically showed life on this rocket. And about halfway through the first season, or right at the end of the first season, they reveal that the rocket actually never took off. That was just a social experiment about what would happen if you were sequestered on this rocket, you know, on Earth in space, or supposedly in space, and only like a couple people knew. So I thought that'd be interesting, because I didn't know if they... It felt like this was some kind of experiment, some Colin Farrell-led crazy experiment.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, something like this movie says there has to be a twist at the end, because if it's just linear, like you take off and it just does what the trailer alludes to, that seems very boring.
Right.
So there has to be some kind of a twist like you're talking. There's some Colin Farrell conspiracy behind it or whatever.
And you couldn't do this trailer for 2 hours or even an hour and a half. It would just be exhausting. You know what I mean?
That's what I mean. Exactly. Exactly. You're not just going to do what they're showing you.
Right. You need to pace. You need to pace yourself.
Absolutely. So speaking of something that an hour and a half is just going to exhaust you.
No, you love these. Come on.
Ted tells me. He puts up the Seaspiracy documentary because he thinks of me.
Oh.
Because he's just like he said, I love them. I don't like these. These are terrible. You know, thinking that everything you know about the world is conspiring against you, and once the seas die, the world ends. I'm not saying that's not true. I'm just saying, like... I don't know why you think of me with this.
No, because the past couple of weeks you've been talking about documentaries that are like completely depressing and how.
Yeah, we have a couple more coming up tonight.
See what I mean? This is your wheelhouse.
There you go.
You know, hey, just like the suggestion matrix within the machines that we flip through, I am reflecting to you what you like, whether you want to like it or not.
You are my algorithm.
I'm algorithmically feeding you trailers.
Yeah, I might watch this. You know, it's like,
this is the first one I want. This is the first one I want to watch of the.
Now, why do you want to watch it?
Because the guy who's narrating this, who's documenting this, he himself is part of this story that's a very human part of the story. And I think, you know, all stories have that human part. All documentaries have that human side, because that's part of what makes a good documentary. What were some of the ones that you did recently? I try to block them out because they're so depressing. What are they?
Documentary?
Yeah, like the past couple weeks. You don't have to go to tonight's, but...
I don't even remember what the hell I watched.
But you know, I mean, generally it's just like, ugh.
Oh, the crack cocaine one.
The crack cocaine one. The Challenger. Space shuttle. Yeah, the Challenger disaster.
Right.
You know, it's just like, ugh, I lived the Challenger. I mean, not lived it, but, you know, I was alive.
Come on, you grew up in D.C. Exactly. I grew up in Chicago. Yeah. We know about crack.
But I'm
not
just
that we did it, but we know the neighborhoods where it was.
So yeah, I mean, and that's what I'm saying. Like, those are depressing. Was the crack one faceless? I mean, there was no specific dude in the crack one where this was the one guy who was uncovering all the crack.
Right. They didn't identify or have a profile, or they didn't.
Right.
They didn't have like a biopic or anything like that on an individual who was the one guy that was, other than maybe George Bush Sr.
Right.
No, you know what I mean, though. I mean, like, there was really nothing that it was more the general overview of the story, not one individual who was responsible for the crack epidemic per se.
Like, you saw McMillions, right? The documentary. So the documentary about McMillions.
I did, yes.
It's a great documentary. And
that had the one guy at the center of
exactly.
It.
Like, it's a.
Yeah, the crack one did it.
It's a good one. It's a good documentary. And then by the second episode, you realize that this is just about this showboating FBI agent, and it just happens to be the guy who cracked open this huge conspiracy about
that guy was hilarious,
and he
too,
was amazing. He chased somebody on the beach with a large with the big check.
That was.
And they got it on film. So, I mean, so that's what I feel with this guy. It's not, I don't think it's going to be hilarious like that, you know, but I feel like he has put himself at this juncture of this Seaspiracy.
Well, let's back up, though. I don't think McMillions was supposed to be hilarious. The guy just had this charisma about him.
But I think the documentarians saw it and they knew and they could.
They could hang
their hat on it. And then you kind of cut around this. And it's like, how much more footage of this FBI agent do we have? Oh, we have him running on the beach after
chasing
a
big check.
Let's spread that over three episodes, you know what I mean? Like,
but I get you, though. I get you.
So that's the thing that draws me to this, even though it's depressing. It feels like he puts himself in peril. He puts himself in harm's way. And I'm sure some of it's heightened, some of it's real, some of it's like legal, and who knows? And of course, yes, I mean, you know, we're deep in Lent right now. Bring back the religion thing. We have fish on Fridays and we don't eat any meat. So it's like, oh, I hope the sea bass and the salmon that we're eating on Fridays are sustainably procured.
That's it, man. All right. So you're eating sea bass and salmon for Lent. Seaspiracy. Well, this week I watched Cowspiracy.
Oh, no, you did?
Yes. Have you heard of it?
No. Is it a real thing?
Yeah, it's a real thing. It's on Netflix.
Is it called Cowspiracy?
Cowspiracy.
No, it's not.
I'm not kidding you. That's why I said Seaspiracy is fitting right into what I watched this week. Cowspiracy.
So Netflix just goes out and they just mash up words onto spiracy, conspiracy.
I guess. So the reason I'm laughing at this is like Seaspiracy, Cowspiracy. And I'm watching it wasn't very good, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Because it's like, oh, it's all about like meat and dairy and the meat agriculture and all this.
Right.
And then like halfway through, they start talking about fishing and then they just completely abandon fishing and they go back into like agriculture and stuff. And you're just like, what is this guy doing? He's all over the place. And then what I don't like about these kinds of things is they'll show like the camera holds on a dead grizzly bear for like 8 seconds.
Too long.
Right. Or 6 seconds, something like that. But it was long.
Long time.
And it's like the waist up from this grizzly bear just laying there maybe he was sleeping. I don't even know. But the way they do it, though, it's done in such a way. I don't know how the thing died. They make it assume as if people are out there hunting and killing and leaving them on the side of the road or something. And you're just, and I'm watching it. I'm just like, yeah, but you're like leading the audience down the path that we need, that to where you want the conclusion to be.
And you don't even know.
I don't. They just showed a picture of this thing dead. They didn't show anybody do anything to it.
Right.
Maybe somebody killed it. Maybe it died.
A cow killed it.
Maybe it got hit by a truck. I don't know.
Right. It got hit by a truck carrying cows.
Carrying cows. Yeah.
The Cowspiracy. I got to look this up just for the ridiculousness of it.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was so okay. I was going to do a trainer ride for an hour, and I thought, you know what? Usually I watch shows with Clarissa and stuff, but I'll watch something that she would never watch with me.
You saved her.
And I'm just thumbing around Netflix, and I see Cowspiracy. I'm like, all right, with a name like that, sure, I'll bite. So I put it on, and this guy, and he talks with a very dull, and then people stopped eating plants, and all they do is drink milk. And dairy protein's gonna, you know, that's how the guy tied. You're just like, this is just terrible. I'm sure there's some truth to it. I'm not saying there's not, but it's like, all we got to do is stop eating meat and the world will be better. But, and he's wondering, why is it that nobody wants to talk about this? Why doesn't Greenpeace? Why doesn't the Sierra Club? It's like, man, this spring has been wound for 200 years. You unwind it tomorrow, like the world's economy will collapse.
I just went to the Cowspiracy website.
Did you see it?
No, but so basically it looks like it's a plant-based meal planner company.
No, it probably is. Yeah. It was all about plant food or plant-based food.
And they basically have, they have one of the, you know, how you have like home, about, facts, all, you know, shop, meal planner, right? And it says there's a screening license page where you can just buy a license to screen this wherever you want. So I bet Netflix was just like, somebody at Netflix is just tooling around. They're like, oh, look, Cowspiracy. Like, we have the Seaspiracy coming out. I can pay $108, put it on Netflix, Anybody could come and see it, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
What the Health Meal Planner. Okay, so that's what you're watching this week.
That was one. We got better things coming. So.
We're gonna go tit for tat though, right?
Yeah. Okay. And we'll finish what we both watched.
Yes. We'll finish with the one. There you go. But I saw this week, finally, Irresistible.
Irresistible.
Irresistible was the political comedy who's in the office? Who's the big guy in the office?
A lot of people.
Who's the main guy in the office?
Steve Carell.
Yeah, Steve Carell. So Steve Carell, and this is a John Stewart written and directed this movie, political satire. I would say it's political satire. And Steve Carell plays a spinner who was spinning for Hillary Clinton, and he was basically saying she's a shoo-in, you know what I mean? Like they were doing fake interviews with him before the 2016 election, where he's just like, oh, she's got it in the bag, you know, basically. And then he loses, and after he loses, he goes to this Midwest town where a mayor wants to run this mayoral race, and he basically puts his energy into this mayoral race, and they bring basically the crazy clown circus of big money into this town to win this mayoral race for the Democrats. And it shows like the brokenness of the system of the way we bring up elections and the whole idea of super PACs. And it's really done in the most entertaining way possible. I'm not giving it justice by doing this. But I was like, I was so taken by this that I was like,
well, that was like the Netflix, what was it? The trash dumpster one or whatever it was.
Oh, right. 2020 was a dumpster fire.
Yeah, it was done in the most the most comical way possible.
It was great. I love that. I love that one. But I watched it by myself once. And then one night this week for dinner, I was like, oh, we should watch this. We should watch this movie. I think it's good. Everybody in the family can enjoy this. Nothing too questionable in it. And we started up and you just hear Trump and you hear Hillary. And then you hear Steve Carell spinning for Hillary. And Anne turned to me and she goes, I'm not ready for this. I can't. I don't know. I was like, this is just the beginning. The minute we go to that town, we're not talking about Trump or Hillary or anything. It's just like, then it's just a fictitious something, something. And you know, it's like, and the Democrats, the Republicans, it just all kind of melts away. She goes, no, it's too much. It's too much already. So it lost her in the first 2 minutes. It lost her in the first 2 minutes. And it's like,
I feel for her, man. I'm right there.
You get up every morning, you read news, and you tell me about how horrible everything is. But this is like something that in the end is like kind of uplifting, and it's very like, ha-ha, you know? And it's just a good movie, but you have to be in the right mindset. So I endorse it.
Yeah.
But you have to be in the right space. What else have you seen today, this week?
The Terminator, Dark Fate.
Oh, did you finish it? I didn't finish it, remember?
You didn't finish it?
Mm-mm. We met. I got to the part where we met Arnold in the cabin, and then I was just like, "Nope, sorry, I'm out."
Okay. Well, we finished it.
You liked it? Did you like it?
You know, it's like the bad "I'll be back" jokes, or "I'll be back" puns. You know, where she's like, "I'll be back,"
uh-huh.
Sarah Connor, and then Schwarzenegger, who's still the Terminator,
right?
Or a Terminator. His name's Carl, and he does like blinds and, you know, shutters or whatever he does. And then he said something. There was a line, "I won't be back." But the worst is when he's talking about making a house call, and they want, and this family wanted to have blinds for their daughter's room.
Mm-hmm.
And he was giving like in very like robot tone intonation. He says, "I told them no. That is not good. She needs butterflies and polka dots and ponies." And you're just watching. You're like, why am I watching this? It's so terrible. But at the same time, it was like, it was so hilarious because he's a Terminator trying to do like Terminator things, but he doesn't understand people and taste, but he learned so much about people that like he was telling them how to have better taste.
Oh, that's so funny.
It was so bad, man. It was so bad.
You know what? Our two movies, Irresistible and Terminator Dark Fate, they both have Mackenzie Davis in it.
Oh, okay.
As one of the main characters. So there you go.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean, the one thing about movies like Terminator Dark Fate, or, I mean, even like when you think about Marvel movies and so on, is you get these people who are so indestructible, they can't die, and they just keep beating each other up. But it's like, what's the point? They're not, they can't hurt each other. All they do is like keep throwing each other through walls and destroying buildings and cars and stuff.
Wait, wait, are you already talking about WandaVision?
Well, I guess we're getting there, but all right, what else you got? What else you got?
All right, so I'll do a quick one. Brian Regan, he's a comedian. I was working. We got a new platform this week. We got a new system. It's called Airtable. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Never.
It's kind of one of the industry standards. We've been pushing for a while to get something like this, so it's nice.
What does Airtable do?
Airtable's kind of like a database or a spreadsheet.
Oh, okay.
But it has automations. It has apps you can build into it. It has a lot of you know, integrations you can run it with and through. And
so it's like Excel on steroids or something, or
yeah. But don't tell the Airtable people that, because they probably would poo-poo that. They're like, we're so much better than Excel. You don't even need to keep comparing us to that.
Exactly, yeah.
but so we got that. So there's a lot of learning, a lot of things that I was trying to crack into. So I just put Netflix on in the background, and Brian Regan, his hour special, just funny stuff, just funny, you know, run of the, you know, just a typical stuff. And I listened to Brian Regan when I was in high school. So it's like, it's hilarious.
Never heard of him.
Oh, yeah. He's our favorite thing was like A Cup of Dirt. Like he used to talk about how they pay farmers not to grow things, you know, because the way the economy works, you have to pay. So he's
that's soybean spiracy.
soy spiracy.
Corn-spiracy.
I like corn-spiracy. Rolls off the tongue much better. And then one that I was just like, I was very happy to watch it this week, and I did not think of it, but Anne found it, and we watched it for dinner. Oh, we watched this for dinner instead of watching Irresistible. She turned on Cool Runnings.
Oh, there you go.
And it held up. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
What'd you watch it on?
It's on Disney Plus.
Oh, Disney Plus. Okay.
And I was even thinking, like, you know, I think the boys could watch this. I don't know if they have already, but, you know, it's just this heartfelt, it's a heartfelt movie.
All right, we'll have to watch.
And they kind of lead you into Miracle, and we're like, oh, we could watch Miracle, but it's bedtime, so we got to go to bed.
So, yeah, before we get into Wanda, we watched Amend.
Oh!
The Fight for America.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, that's on my list as well.
Oh, did you watch it?
Ugh. Not only did I watch it, I got stand up in my living room mad at my family. I was like, put your phones down and enjoy this Will Smith produced beautiful thing that is this documentary series. You know,
we still have the last step. We watched the first five. There's six.
Yeah.
So we still have the last one to do.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I mean, I would agree. Like, put your phones down. This is important.
It's important. And it is visually, you know, some documentaries, yes, they get you, and there's some gotchas here and there. It's just impactful. And it's more impactful if you're watching and listening and doing the work of the audience, you know?
Man, I could see the hair on the back. You got one. I could see it standing up.
I didn't get that one when I was shaving my head. I'm sorry.
No, but you're right, though, man. I agree. It is visually, it's amazing. It gives you the goosebumps. I mean, even just talking about it.
Yeah.
And the way they'll talk about a time in history.
Yes.
And it's like the last 20 seconds. Like, they'll talk about the 1860s, whatever, and the last 20 seconds before the episode ends and they get into the next episode, they jump into like modern day tearing down like statues or something.
Yeah. No.
You know, it'll and it's like in the way they just jump back and forth, and even though the modern time at times is only seconds on the screen, it's seconds that are just enough to draw it back to whatever's going on from 100 years prior.
Right.
to say that, you know, we didn't really get that far.
Right.
It's unbelievable. It was so good.
And then the caliber of actors that they got to portray these historical figures.
That was one of the biggest things I wanted to talk to you about. Like, and I'm glad you watched it because
I almost said in the middle of the week, I almost said, Jimmy, you have to watch Amend because I want to talk about it this weekend. And I was like, no, that's so forceful. And so, you know, so much is going on.
No, like I said, we have one episode to go, though. We haven't yet finished it.
But. No. And because I told the family, I said, because I am making this dictate that we have to watch, I will only make us watch one at a sitting. Like, when there's no binging of this stuff because we need to be so attentive.
You can't. Yeah, we watched, I think it was like 1.5 episodes.
It's draining.
And then finally, I told Clarissa, I said, I got to turn this off. We got to come back tomorrow. I need to digest what it is that I've been seeing. Because some of the things, too, like they'll show a scene, they'll have an actor give a quote of a justice or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And then they hang on a scene, like a lynching or something. And they'll
no pun intended.
Sorry for the pun. I don't mean it that way, but they hang on the scene like you think it should be over, and they stay like 4 more seconds.
Because you have to feel it. You have to have that feeling.
And Bryce
is so sensitive.
Oh.
And he is trying to leave the room. And for the lynching stuff, I was like, Bryce, I'll just call you when this whole segment is over, because he has come back to this.
It's heavy.
He's come back to this lynching too many times. And it's not the lynching. The lynching in and of itself is horrible. But the thing that Bryce was visibly shaken by was the juxtaposition of the people at the lynchings. Like, he was so, like, shaken to his core by little children at a lynching smiling and playing. And it's just like, that's the thing. When
just matter of fact.
Yeah, it's just like when you spend an extra 5 seconds on white kids in their good clothes at a lynching, it's just like so much more visceral than just bodies hanging on ropes. It's just like it's so so evocative, so provocative. And here, let me read to you, because I was so taken after the first episode. I said, all right, we're not gonna binge this, but I'm gonna immortalize it. I'm gonna immortalize it in a post, in an Instagram post. So I took Mahershala Ali, and he's like, he's got that single spotlight on him, you know?
Yeah.
And I put that in a post, and I wrote this thing, and I said, Amend Fighting for America, podcast notes. So I called it podcast notes. And I said, the acting in this documentary schmovie is amazing. Anne's like, don't call it a schmovie. I'm like, schmovie's a real thing. Don't press me on that. it's a docu series. So
it's a shock. Show and documentary, whatever
anyway,
that is.
To hear these actors with the words from history that I was robbed of in childhood brought tears to my eyes. I'm a big crier, I guess. As a student in the 80s and 90s, I memorized the Gettysburg Address and recited it as the ultimate rebuke of the Confederacy. My schooling downplayed the role of slavery in the Civil War. To my amazement, I think I remember seeing Frederick Douglass in a small insert box in a textbook. Maybe the textbook wanted to make Douglass's contribution to history a footnote. Maybe the box was another way to clearly but subconsciously separate the true entwined nature of Douglass's importance to our history. Douglass's vision of freedom in the United States of America is far from realized. He did his part. He went from 0 to 1, but we struggle to continue the work today. Our part is not easy, but it is difficult for me to fathom the fact that in the face of his opposition, he found hope. I applaud Will Smith for taking on this project. I call on all parents that remember going to school in the United States during the 80s and 90s to relearn American history in this lens. Open your eyes and ears. Watch and listen to A Man, the Fight for America. And while I know it's on Netflix, fight the urge to binge it. The message is too important. The information is too packed. The weight of sentiment needs to be digested. The moment in history needs to be studied. Is there a workbook? Is there an episode appendix? This needs to be. Here's a link to Douglass's 4th of July speech as a start.
Man, bravo. I love it.
Yeah. And you said the same thing. You know, like, you need to digest each episode. So
yeah. And one of the big takeaways I think that I get from this and that I've thought in the past, and I hear people in my own family, right? Like, I can't believe they're taking down the statue of Jefferson Davis as an example, right? And I'm like, you know, you're memorializing the president of a foreign country who raised arms against the United States of America, right? To secede.
Yeah.
He's not a hero, you know? Like, maybe to somebody he is, but to the American that you claim to be,
yes,
he's an enemy of the state. To fly the rebel flag, you may as well fly the hammer and sickle or the Nazi flag or the North Korean flag. I mean, it's an enemy flag. It's not an American flag. It's not to be treasured or cherished.
Yeah.
It's an enemy of the state. They were secessionists. They were people who did not want to be American.
Yes.
So I don't know why Americans think we need to, like, immortalize this shit. It just makes me so angry.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's like we don't have statues of Mussolini, Hitler, and like Stalin in the country. Why would we have stuff of General Lee?
Right.
You know, I mean, I remember watching, speaking of General Lee, watching the Dukes of Hazzard and thinking like, ah, oh, man, a General Lee. I think back to myself like, what the hell?
We were in a different time. I mean, it was a different time and we were fed a different line. Like,
we were fed a revisionist history.
It was revisionist, and it was like, I'm so glad that, you know, that we have a different style and pattern of figuring things out right now. I mean, it is confusing. It is much messier, but at least it gives the chance for the truth to come through.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's
I'm so glad you watched that.
Well, we're not done. Like I said, we still have one episode to go.
We're only halfway through. I think we've done 4 episodes, so it's only 6, I think.
Oh, you didn't finish it then?
No, because it's too heavy for the family, and I'm like,
yeah. Well, we were doing like one a day.
The boys aren't watching this though, right? It's above.
No, but yeah. I mean, you know what I love about it though is it's like you take one amendment.
Yeah,
and I mean the Constitution's like huge. There's like the amendments are huge. Each amendment in and of itself is huge. I mean, like, there's a lot going on with, you know, I mean, there's people who are legal scholars.
Right,
these things.
Constitutional scholars.
And they can't even agree, yeah. Right? But when you think about it, it's like, yeah, what does equal protection mean?
Yeah.
And when, I don't know if you've seen this one, when they get to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, have you seen her on there then? Or
I saw a little bit of her, but maybe not her full episode.
Maybe we're ahead of you guys by it.
I think you have one more episode than me.
Yeah, but they talk about her and just where she comes from, how she got to where she was, and her whole thing. But yeah, what does equal protection mean? I mean, when you think about it in terms of women, in terms of women's rights, in terms of being gay, being, you know, I mean, just somebody who's not typical of what we would expect of people or whatever. I mean, and well, the obvious one in the beginning is just being black and stuff. I mean, it was, but like, what does equality mean, you know? And then when you think about it, it's like you have equality, but then you have equity,
right?
Like, if getting to work, if everybody can get to work is equality, but some people get there and they could drive a car for 20 minutes, but the person on the bus takes like 2 hours, that's not equity.
Right.
You know, like, there's differences. And I mean, I think those are things that need to be parsed out, and people need to like understand the differences between equality and equity.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it was, it's intense. I would recommend anybody watch it. I would recommend when you're done watching it, watch it again, because I'm sure there's a ton in there.
Yeah. I just sent you a little YouTube show. Trevor Noah basically hosts a couple of the people that are quoted in Amend, and it's Trevor Noah and Will Smith doing 40 minutes on YouTube. And it's so funny because then Ann and I watch this as one of our respites between episodes. And it's so funny because Will Smith says, I have a friend who's a constitutional scholar, and he was telling me everything lies in the 14th Amendment, right? In the 14th Amendment.
14th, yeah.
And I kept thinking to myself, is he talking about Barack Obama? Does he just casually, is it a different constitutional scholar, or is he just choosing to talk about Barack Obama and didn't want to cloud the fact that he talks to?
Was it Barack Obama?
I don't know, but he doesn't ever expand on who that constitutional scholar is, but that's my theory in my head. That's where I was going.
That's funny. All right, man. So from C-spiracy to Cowspiracy to Amend.
Okay.
Let's lighten it up and finish here with WandaVision. Yeah, too heavy of an episode, man. Jeepers.
Well, I mean, you were saying earlier with the fights where nobody could die. It was like power against power and ultimate power against ultimate power. Vision fighting himself. Oh, wait, do we have to say spoilers now? It's a week out.
Yeah, tomorrow is a week.
Right.
The whole series is over at this point. And did you see there were two buttons at the end?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You got to wait the whole time.
Never saw two before.
Right.
Overall, though, thoughts. What do you think? Like, what's the overarching?
So it didn't end up going in all the places that it could have gone.
Doctor Strange did not make an appearance.
Doctor Strange did not make an appearance. Neither did Bucky or Falcon, or, you know, it basically was just Rambo. It was like
they just kind of wrapped it up.
They wrapped it up, and we don't know where it happened to White Vision. You know, White Vision got his stuff downloaded into him, right? So we feel like maybe Vision, the Vision that had learned how to love Wanda for the third time, was able to download himself into the White Vision. So maybe he has some humanity in him. And then we don't really know where Agatha is. So, I mean, Agatha is supposedly...
Well, I think she's still...
She's bound, right? She's bound in the town.
Yeah, I mean, she just kind of went back to being the nosy neighbor, you know? There's probably a like 27 Easter eggs in that.
That's a low count.
No, I'm talking about that was the one scene.
Oh, okay, yes. What did you think?
What I thought overall is you're looking at the juxtaposition between mind over matter.
Okay.
Because when you think about Vision and the White Vision, and you think about the different witches or the two witches and everything, it was almost like who's the strongest willed in their way to overcome their situation, you know, cognitively or whatever. So because and when you looked at Wanda, you could see almost like her willpower growing as her horned crown or whatever, that tiara, would grow. And the more that would come up, that was like her will becoming stronger to defeat Agatha. That was kind of the way I read into it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it was a beautiful ending to a story. You know, like when you have an arc of these episodes, you really want to put all of your moving important stuff. I think the episode 8 is your pinnacle. It is what you've led up to. And you need, if you can't, I don't think it's fair to leave your audience on that same height, that same level. You need to bring them down, you know, have the action sets, the set pieces and these action scenes and then closure. You give them some closure, which is what Scarlet Witch, what Wanda has been looking for this whole time. You know, you need to give her closure. And then in turn, that gives the audience some closure on the story. But it's like, I forget the line. But again, we're watching this at 6:30 in the morning every week. So we got up this morning and we got a little late. So we watched it at 7 o'clock this morning. But Anne, it was again, like Vision had another line this week. And Anne just turned to me and she goes, Vision, Paul Bettany has the best lines. Like he's just given these great lines. And last week they gave him this line and I forgot it, during our podcast, but then I saw it during the week. So I'm sure we'll be seeing Paul Bettany's line again. But last week's line, do you remember last week's line? It's like, they're talking about grief. And he said, what is grief but love persevering? You know, and it's such a beautiful line of like, what that is. And this week, again, it's the same thing. It has this, the poignancy of what Vision says is so beautiful and poetic that it's just, it's so well written.
It helps when you have like that British accent. With it.
Yes. Yes. That always helps.
Yeah. It just comes across like, you know, more silky.
So we know that, you know, at the end, one of the credit scenes, the first credit scene is about Rambo being called to the space station with the Krull. You saw Captain Marvel, right? So you know that the Krull are up there. But is the person that's calling her up there, is that Nick Fury or is it the Krull?
I have no idea. I'm not that much of a nerd. I mean...
All right. Sorry. Oh, sorry. Sorry. I thought you might have some insight.
I watch it and I'm like, oh, cool. I guess we got another show to watch. Like, I mean, I don't know what to think of it, to be honest. All right.
That's our house's controversy, where there's like, it's probably Nick Fury that's asking for her.
Yeah. If I had to guess, I would say that. I don't know though. I mean, and then where Wanda has like, how would you describe it? Like the trapped Wanda or something?
No, I think she's powerful enough that she can split her consciousness into.
Oh,
because like, okay. So one of the throwaway lines or the kind of thing is that, it was foretold that the Scarlet Witch was even more powerful than the Sorcerer Supreme. So the Sorcerer Supreme is a nod, is the mention of Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange is the Sorcerer Supreme. So when you think of the Sorcerer Supreme, one of the scenes within Doctor Strange is Doctor Strange sleeping. And while he's sleeping, he astral projects himself into reading the books in the library. So while Doctor Strange is sleeping, another being of himself is in the world learning. So not only does now she have the Book of the Dead or whatever this book is called, I forget. But she doesn't have to be asleep to astral project herself into the other being that is reading and taking in this book.
Okay.
So she's more powerful than Doctor Strange is what we're saying. So which just, you know, as we have watched, you know, both Endgame and Infinity War this past week, I'm like, why couldn't she have just, she could have taken out Thanos much easier than this, you know what I mean? Like between, you know, we know Captain Marvel, she was defending the rest of the universe. We get it. You know, she was off in the rest of the universe taking care of bigger things than just Earth. But Wanda was here on Earth, and maybe I guess she hadn't reached the level of power of Scarlet Witch and she hadn't been fully actualized. So maybe that's why, but she had some serious power in those movies. She should have taken them out.
Yeah. I mean, you can make the argument that over time her power grew, but you're right though. I mean, perhaps her power wasn't as focused or something. I don't know in the movies. And now she's just stronger, but to split her consciousness, interesting. Interesting take. I didn't think of it that way.
Because I thought when we were going to get to the back room, I thought, oh, there's going to be, you know, like I thought it was going to be Agatha. I thought it was going to be the like she put the live human Agatha in Agnes and kept her in this town. But maybe she took the witchy one and she put her and made her her, you know, her witch slave or something. But then it's her own self. So I was like, it was different.
Her witch slave.
But here's my question to you. Like we revisit the Marvel movies. And I think you guys are talking about starting to revisit the Marvel movies. Yeah,
we will. Yeah, we haven't yet.
After you're done with all the Jedi, all the Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, we did do Revenge of the Sith last week.
Okay, so you're almost there.
Yeah, so we're moving. No, I'm sorry. Revenge of the
no,
Sith.
No, you did.
No, I'm sorry. We did Solo.
Oh, you did Solo before the trilogy.
We did Solo and then, well, no, we're doing them in order of, well, no, I guess we're not because Solo.
Because you didn't do, Solo came after Force Awakens. Force Awakens.
Force Awakens. Yeah. We started with A New Hope, went through the original three, then the original...
The prequel.
Prequels.
Prequel trilogy.
And then Solo, and then Rogue One, and then we're going to get to
then
all the ones after.
The sequel trilogy. Right.
The Rey ones.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Anyway.
But here, so the question is, so you're rewatching Lucas, you're planning on rewatching Marvel.
Right.
This is in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It is of caliber of the Marvel movies. You know, it's the first one where the Marvel Studios has their full, you know, full-throated endorsement of it. Does it raise to the level of, like, rewatching? Do we want to rewatch it? Do we need to repackage it in a way that we can rewatch it as, you know, three movies or something like that? Or because it inspired me to rewatch Infinity War, Endgame. I saw on TikTok tons of people are rewatching Infinity War because they want to see more Wanda. And then it tries to feed you Ultron. I also had people at church come up to me and be like, oh, we're watching Ultron because they, you know, showed it to us at the end of WandaVision and we just want to watch more stuff. You know, so it has a lot of glow. It has a lot of halo effect where people are watching more than just this hour of content on Disney Plus. So it's doing its work. It's lifting its weight and it's causing us to have at least 3 hours a week, you know, in a platform when it's only done an hour a week. It's 9 hours that's spun off like at least 20. So it's doing its work, but are we going to ever revisit WandaVision and rewatch episodes of WandaVision or parts of WandaVision? I don't know.
But that, you know, and that's an interesting way to think about it because when you think about movies versus series, I think you can look at how the Clone Wars, when season 7 came out and what they said was, if you haven't seen the Clone Wars, here's like the 13 episodes
right,
that you have
right.
to watch. You don't need to watch 6 seasons of 25 episodes each, but here's like the 13 most important ones. And I think when you watch movies and you work through the Marvel series of movies, and then you get to wherever Wanda comes in, I could see a mashup being conducted of all of the episodes down into like a 2-2.5 hours, and you don't need to really watch everything. Like, does it matter that his boss came over from dinner,
right.
you know, for dinner, and she's like throwing the food around in the kitchen? I mean,
no.
Like, eh, that's really not very relevant to the bigger picture of the story.
Right. And I was even like, you know, because I posed this question, I was thinking like, all right, so maybe you start with episode 3. You know, if even if they don't do a super cut, you could do your own, you know, just the same way they do with, like you said, here are the 5 episodes you need to watch in order to catch up.
Yeah.
So if we need to rewatch WandaVision, you don't need to see episode 1 or episode 2 unless you're super into it, you know, but you need to see episode 3 and then you need to see episode 6, 7, 8. That's about it. You know what I mean? Even 9, you know, 9's fresh, but it's really just kind of these big battles. But I think you could get away with watching half of it again and still remember the important stuff.
And when you think about all of the Marvel movies, some of them are origin stories and some of them are just extension of character building. And there's a few of the movies that may not need to be viewed to get the overarching theme of what's going on with all the Avengers and so on, too. You know, I mean, you know, with that said, okay, there's 9 episodes of Wanda and there's whatever it is, 22 movies or something. You know, to get to Endgame, do I have to watch like an Ant-Man origin story or something? Or, you know, I mean, I'm just saying, like, there's a ton of movies. I mean, if you have the time and you're that much of a fan, like, by all means, man, go for it.
Right.
But if you're just trying to get the gist of what's going on and you just want to like jump ahead, as it were, you know, because like, you know, I mean, there's like how many movies can you watch and time's limited? I don't know. Like, how much of a fan are you, I guess, is the major question.
Time to kill. What do you got? You know?
Exactly.
Now we have some time to kill before Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
That's right. That's right. And in between, you got to finish Amend and then get to Seaspiracy.
Oh, I might chicken out on Seaspiracy, man.
Yeah, like, I don't know, man. After watching Cowspiracy, I don't know. I'd have to see it, but it's, you know, it's just like, I get it. You know, I get it. Like, humans are an invasive species.
What are we going to do? We can't stop being human, though.
Right. I mean, I get it. You could alter your behavior to some degree and stuff, and sure. But at some point, like, I'm a product of the world that I'm born into.
And yeah, I mean, part of the reason that we're successful is the fact that we're invasive. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I mean, the bottom line is we just have a big brain.
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember what it was. It was a podcast. It was a documentary. I don't know what it was, but I was listening or watching something, and they were talking about how with climate change, you're going to have these mass die-offs of things, but humans are going to be okay because we can live in hot tropical climates. We can live in Arctic climates. We can live anywhere on the planet, you know? And it got me thinking, I'm like, yeah, we lived on the moon. Not for a long period of time, but I'm saying, like, people were on, like, talk about a hostile environment. So, yes, we as humans can live anywhere.
We grew potatoes on Mars. Come on.
Potatoes.
I guess that was just Matt. That was just Matt Damon. I'm sorry.
Right. But what I'm saying, though, is yes, there are animals that have like built-in weapons, you know, like horns, or they have like built-in body armor and stuff. And humans are very fragile, but we have a brain. We can build things. We can create tools and weapons and armor and, you know, and clothing and protection. And we, you know, and we have a social order, and
we can create a construct of society where we value a paper currency that has no value whatsoever in and of itself.
We value its confidence.
We value the thought behind it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's what I mean. We value its confidence.
And we basically constructed this global, you know, conspiracy that these things that we hold with a value has value.
I get it. Like, oh, don't ever eat animals again. You know, it's like, okay, then how many ways could I eat? You know, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I think everybody can do their part to limit their impact.
Uh-huh.
But to say you're never going to, like, have animal products again, you're never going to drive a car again, you're never going to, you know, fill in your evil demon again. Like, it's just not realistic. You know, it's not realistic until, for whatever the thing, we have, like, I mean, maybe coronavirus was a trial run for a pandemic, but until we have that thing that wipes out 6 billion people, you know, and we're back down to a billion.
I mean, and it's still going to be weather. The polar vortexes are going to get worse, and, you know, so.
Right.
Weather's still
right,
it.
But anyway, to end that high note, Ted.
How did your sour finish up? Let's end on our beers.
Oh, as it got warmer, that is a good question. As it got warmer, it was a little bit less sour, or I became more immune to it. I'm not sure which.
Let's see it. Is it done?
Oh yeah, I finished it.
Okay, good. I finished mine as well.
Clarissa did help me on a few sips.
I saw her sneaking in for those sneak attacks.
Oh, and welcome. But I think as it got warmer, it did smooth out, and it was a little bit less, tart. Maybe just tart, you know, like sucking on a lemon tart.
Yeah.
How about you? I mean, yours looked amazing.
I mean, mine was great. I've had this before, the Big Bad Baptist Imperial Stout. I don't know why I don't have this more. I mean, this is a beer that I could have. Oh my God. It must have tons of calories in it though, right? Like Epic Brewing. This is a mainstay. You gotta keep a six pack of this on hand.
Just got to keep it. Don't even drink it.
Have it in reserve. Have it in reserve.
Start hoarding. That's right. Start hoarding for when that pandemic happens.
Oh, God, please.
You're like, baby, we got to split it.
Oh,
she's
okay.
Like, I don't drink beer.
Fine.
I'm like, no, it's
fine.
Nutrition.
No, you can.
It's sustenance. It's sustenance. All right, man. Episode 152 is in the can.
Awesome. Have a great night.
Yeah, we'll talk to you.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.